Welcome to The Beauty of Conflict, a podcast about how to deal with conflict at work, at home, and everywhere else in your life. I'm Chris Marie.
And I'm Susan.
We run a company called Thrive, Inc., and we specialize in conflict resolution, stress management coaching, and building strong, thriving teams and relationships, both in person and virtually.
We are starting 2021 with a series based on our book, The Beauty of Conflict, for teams. We'll be sharing tips, tools about how to make your team work more effectively, especially in this remote and virtual environment. We hope you'll walk away from this episode and the series with some fresh ideas that change your day, your week, and even your life.
Hi, I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And we are wrapping up our Beauty of Conflict for Teams series based on our book, The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage, available on Amazon, and with a focus on change. We're focusing on one of our later chapters, chapter 28, Increase Your ROI on Change. Because when I was working at Arthur Andersen, I was tasked at helping CEOs who are implementing, you know, mergers and acquisitions, reorganizations, implementing ERP systems. And the biggest mistake these CEOs made was to be focusing only on the business, or what we call the smart side of the project, and ignoring what we call the healthy or the human side of the project. And my job was to say, whoa, 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 you're not going to be successful. You're going to throw money down the drain if you don't bring these people along and have them embrace the change. And that takes time and effort and focus. Don't you think, Susan?
I totally agree, Chris Marie. And right now, this is maybe even more critical because, as we all know, we've been going through a tremendous amount of changes in the last year. And just this past week, Microsoft put out an article, we just loved the title because it was so perfect. The next great disruption is hybrid work. Are you ready?
So hybrid meaning, well, some people are going to come back to the office and some people are going to be remote. And maybe there'll even be a rotational process where you come in Monday, Tuesday, you know, like the kids at school, 2 days a week, and somebody else comes in 2 days a week. And, you know.
Yes, this hybrid version for Microsoft and other tech companies has been happening in schools now for quite a while.
It's true.
And it's interesting that they're the test case. I have some questions about how that pans out. But anyway, definitely we have been experiencing some version of either remote, hybrid, opening, reclosing, tremendous amount of change. And really, it's if a company isn't paying attention to this now, there is going to be a lot of pain and suffering, both a lot of money that goes down the drain and a lot of suffering on the behalf of leaders and the employees.
Yes. And, you know, this isn't also happening in a vacuum where we've been having all these social justice issues, traumatic shootings, politics. You know, we have been living through a really chaotic time. And so we want to talk a little bit about change and then also transition, because change is, you know, when you've moved or you've changed a job, there's one day that you're working at your old job and the next day you're at the new job, or you're living in Seattle and you moved to Montana like we did.
I know, Chris Marie, it's kind of funny because I think people think that this, you know, pandemic is going to be like that. We closed, now we're reopening. And obviously that has not been the case either. Even change has become not one static
That's
point.
That's true.
There has been, you know, we opened, then we've closed, then we've reopened, then we've closed.
Yeah.
Then, you know, so
there's vacillating changes, but then there's this internal process that people don't necessarily aren't really cognitively aware of, but it's so important. And it's the transition. And the transition is your internal psychological reorientation to the new way. And that's really tricky when you have all these different changes and they're, like you're saying, Susan, they're going back and forth and, you know, managing all that, you get into what we call a transition deficit, meaning how do I catch up with my own feelings about what's been going on? Because a transition is a three-step process.
Well, also, you might want to add, I think the transition is the psychological aspect of change. So I just wanted to add that word because, you know, you were talking about it's what's going on internally inside of me, not that change moment.
Yes, it's that psychological reorientation.
And if you did say it, I'm sorry, Chris Marie, I may have interrupted you falsely, but I just...
No worries. We're really driving that home because the internal transition first is about endings, because any change, even a change that you like having a baby, something that you wanted, has something that you're losing. You're no longer have your sleep at night, could be. So endings are really about sorting your losses. And there could be losses of turf, status, meaning, attachment, identity. There's many more, but those are some key areas where we experience loss when something changes.
And even recognizing this current situation, Chris Marie, is, you know, that there are all sorts of things. There's dealing with the endings and the loss related to your work. There's related potentially to your economic situation. Yeah. You may have lost loved ones. There are so many different aspects that we as a culture with a pandemic occurring are now all facing some version of this.
Yeah. I mean, even I lost an aunt during this time frame, and we couldn't go home to her funeral because of what's going on. And a neighbor lost her mother very early on, and she's a doctor, and she couldn't go home to the funeral.
And these are people that both in these situations, neither was because of COVID, but both still significant losses and all sorts of, there's so much that has gone on in the world in the last 12 months, a lot of which we may or may not have realized or recognized or dealt with the significant changes that have occurred.
And part of that processing, recognizing that even a corporate change, people need to process. Mm-hmm. So all these bigger pieces or more personal pieces that are going on, these changes, people need to personally process. And everybody goes through a transition at a different rate. And some people, like when we moved to Montana, Susan, tell me where I'm wrong, but you were like, boom, I'm home all, I feel great.
Yes. You know, we moved from Seattle to Montana, and I had probably never really landed fully in Seattle. Prior to that, I had been on an island up in Canada. And so when I arrived in Seattle, in Montana, it felt more at home to me than I had. Now you, on the other hand, had.
You know, I was lying when we went to clients. I'd say, no, I still live in Seattle. Not consciously, actually. That was more, I would just had that sense of home was Seattle for me. Because I don't know if I gave you the three stages of transition. It starts with ending, which is about actually feeling your feelings of grief and noticing what you're losing and what you're gaining, sorting that. But also there's this neutral zone. There's this in-between time where you're not in the old way, you're not in the new way. And it can feel quite disorienting. Productivity goes down, like even moving. I didn't know where to get my hair cut. Where do I get the oil changed in the car? All that takes more time to figure out.
You can share too. I hope that, you know, for maybe 3 years, you kept going back to Seattle to get your hair cut.
I know.
And I don't think we drove the car back for the oil change, but we actually left a car in Seattle. Maybe we did. You know, and now, I mean, I also just want to bring up.
I didn't say the third stage is the new beginning. And that, so it's ending, neutral zone, new beginning. And that's the time where you're like, oh, I feel like myself again. I've got my energy back. I'm used to this. And my productivity is back up. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for some people, this whole experience maybe they've gone through it fairly quickly. But for the most part, we have been in a kind of constant state of the neutral zone for a while now. Because even if we thought we were getting a new beginning, you know, there'd be surges or something would happen or we'd have political issues or social injustice issues, and everything would be disrupted again.
Yeah.
So it really is important to recognize that for probably most of us, we're still in some form of the neutral zone.
Yeah.
So even if you run a business, you're still dealing with some of that as well.
Yeah. Think about whether you're running a business, you're an employee, what have been all the different changes that you've had to grapple with during this past year, even during the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 months with. It could be the election. It could be the kids changing their school rhythms, whether you're on the same job or same project. And what happens is normally when there's a change that's occurring in the office, it's because we think, okay, this change is going to help us be more productive. That's why we're putting in this new system. That's why we're reorganizing. But what leaders fail to notice is anytime you make a change, productivity drops. And as people are trying to figure out what's going on, and you can get stuck in what's called the valley of despair. And that's just, especially if leaders don't help employees process through that change, that's when you can start to help people become more productive.
So, you know, right now, Chris Marie, in terms of, you know, I don't know. It's kind of tricky. Like sometimes it can seem so much easier to look at the change. But because of the multitude of changes now, it may be very difficult for leaders and organizations to really even begin to know how to support. Because one thing, it's what they have to deal with related to the business. But, you know, people are at home and they're dealing with their kids more. There isn't the compartmentalization around work and life that we may have had at some other point. Mm-hmm. And so it really becomes critical to not so much get definitive about what the change is or isn't, but have conversations about change and how do you deal with change and what is, trusting that people are going to be able and willing to show up and talk about what they need.
It's true. I mean, when we do change seminars with organizations that are going through a distinct change, mm-hmm. we help people process through what actually is ending for them. Is it their meaning? Is it their attachments? Because the people they're working with are changing, or their identity, who they are as a person. And then we talk about what we call the four R's, which is how are you going to replace, redefine, reinvent your world, or how? What do you need to relinquish? What do you need mm-hmm. to just let go of? And I'll give you a story that helps me kind of, what do those four words mean and how do I actually apply that? When the, like, let's say the fires down in California took out a whole neighborhood, there are some people who they lost their whole home, but they could replace it. They had insurance, the kids were still there, so they built the exact same replica of the home and they could. Other people, their home burnt down and they were like, you know what? The kids are gone. Let's remodel or redefine our home. We don't need that big home. So we're going to do this. And they come up with a redefinition of their home and they rebuild it. Some people's home burnt down and they're like, you know what? We don't need to stay in this neighborhood. Let's get an expensive Winnebago and we'll travel the world. So they reinvented what home meant to them. And other people who had no insurance, they had to relinquish and let go and process through that loss of their home. So replace, redefine, reinvent, and relinquish. And certainly with COVID, there are people like the relinquishing of people that you've lost, you know, income that has been lost because of the change in business.
Or maybe your business closed.
Yeah.
Whether it's your small business that you owned or a business you were a part of.
I mean, some people, they replaced, maybe it was fine, like a nurse who worked at a hospital or a doctor.
They're probably dealing more, they're not dealing with the loss, they're in the same job, but they may have a lot of grief related to the work they've done in the last year,
that's true.
Which has to be dealt with. But in terms of the job itself, they could just keep going. They may have had a very similar job, mm-hmm. you know.
Redefined, I've talked to more than one person who is like, you know what? Because I'm a remote worker and I still have my job, I'm going to redefine. And they've bought a house in Arizona. They live up in Seattle. They spend half the year both places and they can.
Yes.
So they've redefined how they're doing their work.
Reinventing that, you know, that's kind of like what we had to do. We were going to clients and working very firsthand with teams and things like that. And we've had to reinvent ourselves. Our focus now, yes, we still do the teamwork, but we've done a lot more coaching of leaders. We've done a lot more stress-related things for organizations and people, and we do a lot more of it from home.
And the team sessions that we do are virtual, and we're taking teams through their strategic topics. And relinquish, you know, I guess that would be even, like we were saying, not being able to go to funerals or see people that we have wanted to.
Or people who had to let go of their business. They had to shutter it up and close it down. Like there's a lot of that, I think, for people who were in the restaurant industry, different places.
I think about New York City. I'm not there, but I can imagine all those small businesses that had those, you know, they're all boarded closed. How could they survive a whole year with having to pay rent? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen for those businesses?
There's a lot of different stories about that. I remember here in Montana, there were a lot of farmers had food resources, which they could no longer send to restaurants and things like
right.
that. I mean, the thing I remember is the story about the goat cheese. And, you know, there's incredible goat cheese, but they actually found a way to work together.
Let's back up, because I think there's a farmer that makes this very high-end goat cheese here in Montana. And they had a great distribution channel to all these high-end restaurants that no longer needed their goat cheese. And so they found a new way.
And some of that was that it was not just high-end here in Montana, but
nation.
And they could no longer get the trucks in here, all sorts. So they did a thing where they actually made it available much more locally. They worked with other farmers to distribute it, and they kept themselves going as a result of this effort.
And they got into like natural food stores and sent it out that way, but they had to come up with new distribution channels.
Yeah.
Think about yourself and what have you had to replace or redefine or reinvent or even relinquish about how you do your work, how you do your family, your relationships, anything in those categories.
I mean, I also know, I mean, because of all the things that have happened around social injustice, politics, things like that, I know families that have had major divides, yeah, and there's a lot of loss in that. You know, are we going to get through this? And it is one of those things where the first step to even imagining getting through it is to identify what you have lost.
Yeah.
And to really look at that and recognize without that willingness to name it, to acknowledge it, to feel it, it's very hard to get to the next.
I do think, you know, sometimes people are so uncomfortable, like they feel uncomfortable, but they don't know, like, what do I do to process that? So what you're saying, Susan, like, just even write down what have you lost and what haven't you lost? Like, I think because when we're in our upsetness, it can feel like I'm losing everything. And we forget, well, we still have the same house, let's say for us. We still have the same relationship. We do have work, you know, and there's pieces that we have lost.
And when we're working with organizations, it's always so powerful for me, Chris Marie, when those groups break into groups and just talk amongst themselves about what they've lost. And some people, it's a big deal. Some people, it's not a big deal. But to even name it, it's like, you know, right then there's a connection that is deeper and important to make.
Yeah. We've been doing some talks about change and transition during this new environment and even virtually breaking people into breakout groups. That's been the sweet spot. You know, we give them some information, but then when they can connect in smaller pods and talk about it and relate to each other, it's so healing.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
Now, also in this neutral zone, which you may find yourself, the neutral zone is this, again, this in-between place. And all this is based off the work of William Bridges. I was certified in his model way back at Arthur Anderson, helping organizations. But this neutral zone, again, you're not in the old world, you're not in the new world. That may sound kind of familiar to you right now. And so you really want to find ways to support yourself. And there's an acronym that's very helpful called CUSP, meaning you want to replace what transition and change takes away. So you want to figure out what can you control? That's the C of CUSP, C-U-S-P. So what can you control in your world? What do you need to understand and where can you get the information about, like, what are the new changes that are happening at work? You know,
what's happening in my state or my area around COVID regulations? What's happening around travel? What's happening around the schools?
What's happening around vaccines?
Yeah.
So what do you need to understand? So control, what can you control? What can't you? What do you need to understand and how can you get that information? What support do you need? And this is like, do you need to, you know, talk to your spouse or talk to your coach or a therapist or your best friend? Actually getting that support is crucial. And the last P is purpose. We tend to have, you know, when we were doing strategic planning, let's say January 2020, we had no idea. And then COVID blew everything up. And so you can't have like long range plans as much as you could. So what's your short-term purpose? Maybe through the end of June. Like quarterly hops is what we call them, or it might even be this week as you go through transition. So what's your purpose for this shorter time? So CUSP is C-U-S-P, control, understand, support, and purpose.
And you may have to look at that in variable ways, like think about it related to your work. Think about it related to your children in school. And, you know, there could be a variety, a hybrid version. And so, you know, like you can't bifurcate them anymore. Maybe we should go. That was a word we used to, you know,
try to get in there.
The SAT
word,
you know,
bifurcate. You know, one thing I didn't say about endings that is, I was coaching somebody who in this environment was changing jobs, and he had a really tough time at his past job, which is why he changed companies even. And so what we respond to around endings is ceremony, because that really, that speaks to us as a being. That's why we have marriages and funerals and baptisms or these ceremonies. And so what he did is he wrote down all the things he was letting go of. They were good and bad. There was a lot of bad things because he was unhappy, but there was also some good things. And then he had his kids around and his spouse, and then he put them in the fire. He named them and put them in the fireplace. And that is a great like purging and letting go.
And you could do that as a family with your family.
That's what
that's like, well, not just the person that, you know, you were coaching, but they, I'm imagining they did that with each member of their family.
Yeah.
Yeah. think that's cool.
So think about ways that you can, like a demarcation, a line in the sand, that we are now stepping into this new way and we are letting go of this old way.
Yeah, I think I don't know how many people I've talked to or coached over the last year where one of their big ceremonial things was making their office and their home the way they really wanted it to be. And now, you know, actually one of them that's hungry is just getting ready to return to work. And it's like, oh, I'm very attached to my office now. So there was a whole thing around, okay, so how could you take some aspect of this part of your office to back to your old office and go in there with the intention of you don't have to have that old office to be the way it was before, which was it, you know, it was like, oh, that's a whole different idea. So, you know, and then another friend of mine said they were just going to burn all of their masks. And I was like, oh, please don't do that yet.
We haven't all been vaccinated yet.
Let's just keep some of that just in case we still need them.
So think about some creative ceremonies that you can do as you're going through these markers where things are going to be different. And I mean, some people have really loved remote working. So actually going back to the office is going to be like commuting again. And so,
well, then it becomes even more important for businesses to pay attention and talk more openly about the diversity in people's responses to what is going on, even what's gone on for them during this past 12 months. And, you know, I don't know that we were always very good at doing that in the before COVID, but now COVID has brought it to a real head. We need to be more open and willing to use each other as a support, because during this past year, one of the things we've spent a lot of time talking about is burnout.
Yeah.
And burnout is just simply, you know, it's happened in medical and healthcare jobs. It's happened in tech jobs.
Oh, people are like in tech jobs. Yes. because people are like, oh, now I have no boundaries. I can be on a call at 6 a.m. or 11 p.m. And so burnout is really a real thing to deal with. And that's the stress piece that we talk about, unpack your stress. And burnout, one of the big things, a couple of gals wrote a book called Burnout, which we highly recommend. Yes, twins.
Emily and I can't remember the other
ones. Okay. But check that out. And the biggest thing that people resonate in that book is about emotions, because we were never taught, most of us, how to deal with these emotions, this energy that happens inside of us. I mean, mostly we like to pretend they're not there, feel shame about feeling emotional, but emotions are a huge part of our energy system and they're in the body. Yeah. And the burnout comes when people start to feel something and go, I shouldn't feel that. I'm just going to squish that down. I'm going to pretend it's not there. I'm going to be very reasonable and rational. And what happens is it gets stuck. And so getting through burnout is about being willing to allow that emotion to go through. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and allow it to move through you. Could be like a tsunami, like a tidal wave, or it could be like a little trickle, but have it move through you. And then you get the light at the end of the tunnel, which is the feeling better after you've cried or vented or whatever that, you know, those are usually two that people have a hard time with: their sadness, their grief, and their anger.
Well, and these days also, I think shame.
Yes.
Like it's an emotion that is, it is a feeling. And so much gets talked about that it's, you know, because it naturally, it's that moment where you feel like I've been a part of something that violates my own values or harms somebody else. And in that moment, what you want to do probably is hide and duck, you know, that shame feeling. And what actually, you know, really works with shame is if you can actually talk about it, open up to it, put some light on it, not run away from it. And that we have a very hard time dealing with shame, which is, I think, one of the challenges we are currently facing around looking at some of these long systemic issues is, can we feel that shame or can we feel that rage, anger, and pain?
I so agree, Susan. And really the shame around the social justice is what I think you're referring to, and the privilege and feeling that shame. And what we tend to want to do is, I'm not going to feel that shame. So I'm going to either blame myself, like, oh, I'm just a horrible person, or blame somebody else because I'm not willing to allow that heat that rises, that whatever your shame response is. And it's good to get to know it and allow it to move through your body.
I read this article. This is a totally different version of the same thing, but they were talking about education. And it was an article about a little girl the parents were dealing with their little first grader who was...
She was kindergarten, wasn't she?
I think it was first grade. May have been kindergarten.
Okay.
Let's go with first grade. But the point is, yes. She was going to school for her first day of remote school. And they were going through what all teachers right now have been asked to do, try to figure this out. And the teacher was trying to help the children. I think they were on Teams, not to say that whatever version of it makes a difference, but they were trying to teach them how to mute and unmute and dealing with, they had all these ways to do it, but not much was working well. And this little girl was really struggling to pay attention until she discovered that she could use Microsoft Paint. And so she started doodling and doing, and her father.
How creative of her.
She was very creative. Her father was like, oh, she's learned how to multitask. But also trying to put the pressure back on her to, you got to stay on the screen. And then at various points, she crawled under a bed and he had to talk her out. And she, you know, at one point she was doing the Microsoft Paint and was doodling and she got to ask a question so she couldn't answer. So at the very end of the day, the first thing she said is, I am the worst student in the class.
Aww.
Because she felt like she had done it so poorly. And this was an article written by the father because, you know, I'm worried I'm going to have to help my daughter not take on that shame of her first day in school. We've
right.
done something wrong that we've gotten ourselves to this point, you know, but it was just such a, you know, just touched my heart because these are challenging times, you know, that she was actually willing to talk to her parents. That's
yeah.
a difference.
I was going to say, at least like I was thinking about how to let her feel her feelings, but even processing them with mom and dad so they can actually help her see she's shining the light on this is how I'm feeling and they can help her reframe it like, oh, sweetie, you're doing very well.
You know, you're maybe not the best one in the class, but no one is. Even the teacher doesn't know how to use these mediums. Neither do we.
So I think they were making, wasn't it? They were practicing animal sounds like and muting and unmuting.
Something like that. Yeah, I was touched by the story because this is happening to all ages.
Yeah.
And we may not even notice unless we actually talk about what is the impact of all the change that we have been going through as we begin to, we're not going back to normal. So we are going somewhere new.
I think that's why it's so important. I have a coach and I talk to my coach and process this. I also do it with you, Susan, but like, because we can get so caught in unproductive spins and negative feelings that maybe I don't process through. And then I start acting from those.
Oh, I was thinking, Christopher, when we did our thing on the Four Horsemen mm-hmm. on Teams, which we've named them to the Toxic Team Killers.
Four Toxic Team Killers. You can find those videos on LinkedIn under Thrive Inc. if you follow us.
Yes, they're still in process of coming out. But the whole idea that under stress, these Four Horsemen show up more and more, which are criticism.
Yeah, the Four Toxic Team Killers are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling.
Now, we know that those four things are destructive in marriages, thanks to the Gottmans. That's where it came from, the Four Horsemen. We've talked about that before. They also show up on Teams, which is really just another version of significant relationships. We won't call them marriages, but important relationships. And they show up often under stress. And it's so easy under stress to not realize that you've gone to criticism or contempt. Or defensiveness.
Or even stonewalling. Yeah. And on Teams that are virtual, it immediately shuts down conversation and people go, whoop, okay, never mind. I'm not going to speak. And real conversations aren't had. You know, people start managing their behavior for effect because they don't want to be, you know, on the butt end of contempt or criticism. And so it really stalls any sort of creativity and healthy dialogue. So you really want to be aware of if you're negative feelings are coming out in the form of criticism, contempt, defensiveness, or stonewalling, which stonewalling is like, I'm just not going to answer. I'm just going to shut down.
The thing, if you pick up that you're stonewalling, you know you're in some sort of overwhelmed, what we refer to in our book as an oh shit moment. And the best thing you can do is do something to take care of that.
Yes.
Take a break.
And some of the things that you can do if you are struggling with how you're feeling in any given day is the first thing is move your body. Take a walk, get up and dance, change your environment, just move your body, exercise. And then what we've talked about over and over again is breathe.
Yeah. best.
We do have a whole podcast on just breathing.
Yes. Another thing is make connection. Don't isolate and go away. It's, you know, especially if you're in those feelings of shame, which you tend to want to do, don't. Talk to someone. Find a way. That'll put you back into connection.
Even if you don't have to even necessarily talk about your shame, but you're just kind of saying, waving to your neighbor as you pick up the paper, or, you know, smiling to people. Just those social connections are so make us feel a part of something.
And yes, and talk to loved ones. Mm-hmm. Find a way to talk to the people that you haven't talked to for a long time.
I know that I have reconnected with my two nephews and my niece over, and all my cousins that I didn't even really think about having. I'm a part of this larger family with my aunt dying, who was a very special woman, Aunt Bernadette Murphy. And that has made me help process some of this grief that I'm in.
Yeah. And another, let yourself cry. Mm-hmm. And those of you that really don't know how to cry, maybe just let yourself laugh a little, like listen to a child laugh, because laughter and crying have some similar things when it's sincere. It's not like laughing at somebody, like sarcastic laughter. It's that deep belly laugh. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the same thing that can relate to a wail or a cry.
I know some people think, oh, I don't want to cry because if I cry, I'll never stop. And really, you will. Yeah. It won't last that long.
I have a medical doctor that I really, Wayne Dodge, who's just a great guy. He goes, in all of my years of medical practice, no one has ever died from crying. So he's very reassuring about that. You know.
And the last piece is just do some sort of creative expression, not to make art, not for perfectionism, like take some crayons out. And that may sound so childish, but those of you that have kids, I'd love to color. I don't have kids and I have crayons, and just that expression, play your guitar. Susan's taking guitar lessons.
And I think that little girl in first grade, she got Microsoft Paint and doodling because she was under stress and it worked for her.
So doing something that makes you feel more whole in yourself. So,
well, we've kind of gone all over the place, but we started talking about change. We've talked about burnout. We've talked about all a variety of different.
And the change and transition, the endings, the neutral zone, the new beginnings. So you want to replace, redefine, reinvent, and relinquish what you're losing. And think about what you can control. This is in the neutral zone cusp, what you can control, what you need to understand, get support, and identify a short-term purpose.
Now, these are all things that we've covered more extensively in our book, The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage. And if you haven't bought that book yet, get it now, because, you know, this will be our last of this particular team series.
And it's available on Amazon, The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage. You can get the Kindle version. And I wanted to just say, any of you that are leading teams, it's a little bit tricky right now, but to support your people through this, you want to think of what we call the 4 P's and the 2 C's, which is the 4 P's are picture, purpose, plan, and part. And what that means is try to paint a picture, and it might be a short-term picture of what this next phase will be, what you're hoping success looks like, and help people understand the why of what's happening, whether it's a reorg, this hybrid workplace, and what's the plan, what's A, B, C, and D. And what's the part you want them to play? And this is where you're asking people to engage. When we're working with the team, we want them to show up vulnerable, real, with curiosity. You want people maybe to be proactive, reach out to each other. And the other two, so those are the 4 P's if you're a leader. Think about your communications in those terms. And then the 2 C's are connection and caring. Help people stay connected. You may assume people are connected because they're all connected to you, but a lot of times just stopping and asking how you doing is a really powerful way to make sure people know that you feel connected and that you care about them. Okay.
I'm glad you added that.
She was very impatient. I could tell her little purse lips.
I could tell when you looked at me that you didn't think I was showing concern and care. However, I really did get this is an important piece to add.
Yes. So, for leaders out there running teams. And you know what? We are actively building our LinkedIn presence on Thrive Inc. And we would so appreciate if you go to LinkedIn. You can connect to Chris Marie Campbell, Susan B. Clark, and then the business Thrive Inc. There's lots of them out there. So make sure it's the purple one with the green dot, because we are releasing our video series, the 4 Toxic Team Killers. They're short little videos you can share with your team. We're putting out content every day on that page, and we really want you to get access to it. It's free. It's for you. So follow us at Thrive Inc. on LinkedIn.
All right. Take care, and we'll talk again soon. Wow, Krishna Marie, I have sure been enjoying doing this series for teams and utilizing our chapters from our book, The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage. It's been fun to go back and review the material and apply it to virtual teams.
It's true. And it's so much good bite-sized material in these chapters. I mean, if I do say so myself. And if you want us to speak at your organization or work with your team, yes, virtually, we've been doing that, team sessions, or coach you or leaders on your team, please reach out to us. You can check us out at our website, www.thriveinc.com. That's thriveinc.com. Or send us an email. Write us directly. We're happy to chat. thrive@thriveinc.com. That's thrive@thriveinc.com. Okay. Take care.